hustling, and tonight is my appraisal. Cause I'm a hooker selling songs, and my pimp's a record label. This world is full of demon stocks and bonds and Bible traders. So I do the deed, get up and leave, a climber and a sadist, yeah. Are you ready for the sequel? Ain't ready for the latest in the garden of evil.
Welcome to the Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. No calls, no phone-ins, no questions, no hate mail tonight for us, because you can send us hate mail, because we take that and laugh at it, but you certainly don't want to call tonight, because we have a special guest on, and she deserves all our time, and certainly all of our setup, and we're not going to waste any of her time, because we have a lot to go over, as we fade out Panic at the Disco, because it's a good song, and picked by our guest tonight. So let's get into this. Let's have some fun. Let's talk to this young lady who's in here. Ladies and gentlemen, the Hockey Show is proud, humbled, privileged, and honored to welcome to our program a woman whose career, despite already having a number of highlights, seems to only be on the verge of trending upward. She'll don the colors of York University next season in the OUA. She looks to help that program to new heights. She's recently graduated from the St. Mary's Academy Flames, where she backstopped that team in all sorts of games and helped them to some impressive accolades on their respective leagues and tournaments and everything else going on there. Most recently, and perhaps most notably, she was part of Team Canada, who went over to Slovakia and won the ISBHF World Championship, bringing home a gold medal to this great city of ours. Without further ado, allow me to introduce Miss Juliana Thompson. Juliana, how are you? How's everything going?
Pretty good. How about you?
I'm doing all right, thanks. Let's get started here and have some fun with this, because there's lots to go over. You've done a ton of stuff in your career. We're going to jump back to March 23rd, 2001, where a young Juliana was added to the Thompson family, the wee bundle of joy that came along. What was life like for you growing up in the Thompson household?
It was pretty interesting. I grew up with three older brothers that were 10, 12, and 14 years older than me.
Okay.
So I always wanted to be like one of the guys. So that's why I've like always played like guys hockey really competitively, and like I'm a very competitive person.
Right on. That's good. According to your St. Mary's info sheet that we were looking at earlier, lots of different sports on there in terms of what you like: basketball, volleyball, hockey. Were there any others that you excelled in though that weren't named hockey?
Not really. Like, I've mainly just been like a hockey person. I played JV basketball.
Okay.
And then just grade 9 volleyball. And then I did like cross country, but not like high level or anything.
You just ran for run for just a run.
Yeah.
That's all right. Nothing wrong with that. According to your bio, as we were reading down some of the stuff, started playing hockey for the Seals at the 9A1 level in 2010. But when did you actually don the skates for the first time?
I first started playing hockey when I was 5.
Okay. What, were you just out there for a pleasure skate, or
taking
lumps from your brothers, or?
I was playing Timbits hockey.
Okay.
And I was always like obsessed with being a goalie. So like most of my memories from Timbits was me and Nat. Like when I was 6, we did the intermission game at the Moose game, and I got the most valuable player for like being the goalie and like getting a shutout.
Oh, right on. That's awesome. Who was your idol growing up then? Who was your the one player you were like, I want to be like that player?
Roberto Luongo.
Luongo, eh? Yeah. Just retired. That's kind of crazy. In terms of his career, you're certainly adding a lot of accolades like that. So let's get this out of the way. What prompts you, as a 5, 6, 7-year-old, what prompts you to stand in front of the puck as opposed to standing behind it?
I I don't really remember why I chose goalie exactly, but I remember I could never shoot the puck very well.
Okay.
So I could never score. So I just went in net.
You were like, I'm going to stop them if I can't shoot them?
Yeah, if I can't score, I may as well try to stop them.
That's all right then. Good for you to find a spot that worked for you, because it seems to have paid off. Again, you got started with boys hockey in terms of the Seals, 9A1 in 2010. I don't know about you. I know a lot of girls certainly take their lumps for doing that. Did you hear a lot of, you know, a lot of chirps about being the girl at playing boys hockey, or did that not really bother you?
At first, it bothered me. Like, I would hear it every now and then, like, yeah. Oh, like, you're a girl? Like, oh, there's a girl on the team. Like, it's going to be an easy game. And then all of a sudden, I'll, like, make a save, and they'll be like, oh, like, she's really good. So, like, you kind of get used to it over the time. Like, oh, like, you're really good for a girl. Yeah. But, like, you learn to get used to it.
Sticking it to the boys and has become a regular thing for you, it seems, at that age, as you were recognized for a lot of good stuff. You went on, played AAA hockey, 10A1 hockey next year. It was another form of hockey, though, that caught your attention in 2012. Let's talk about the summer sport, I guess it is. You discovered ball hockey. How and where does an 11-year-old girl get into ball hockey?
So I played with a lot of guys growing up. Like, I played spring hockey, and one guy was making a team with, like, a whole bunch of guys from around the city.
Okay.
And I guess they didn't have a goalie, so they asked me. So I was like, sure, I'll play.
So where does an 11-year-old go to play then? Like, do you just, like, is there a league that you guys have? Is it, I don't know anything about 11-year-old ball hockey.
So there's actually I think it's the Manitoba Minor Ball Hockey League.
Okay.
And it starts at a pretty young age. Like, I think I've seen, like, 5 or 6 year old leagues.
Oh, wow.
For ball hockey, and you play twice a week, I think, like, in the evenings.
Okay.
Yeah, at just like a few rinks across the city have floors.
So like not outdoors, indoors then?
Indoors.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna get into the rules, because I know the rules are different for ball hockey, and you can certainly go over them. I mean, I've seen some ball hockey played. I know a little bit about the rules. Again, probably not as much as you, but we'll go over that in a few seconds. It was around that time, though, in 2012, where your family moved and you ended up in a new neighborhood on a new team with the St. James Canadiens AA Pee Wee team. What's the transition like moving across the city, and secondly, moving to a new team?
I played with them. I got cut from the AA team, the St. Boniface Railcats. So then the Canadiens picked me up.
Oh, okay.
And then after that, I ended up moving to St. James because I had such a great experience with the team. It welcomed me so well. Like, I felt like I was just, like, one of the guys. So I was like, okay, if I want to keep playing high-level guys hockey, I'll move to St. James.
Seems to paid off there, as you you won the AA Canadiens Don Hutchinson Memorial Most Valuable Player Award and went to the Boys All-Star Game in your Pee Wee season with the Canadiens. What do you remember most about that season?
I remember we had a strong start to the beginning of the season, and we kind of fizzled out near the end, but we were first or second at the break. So when I got named to the All-Star team, I remember my coach telling me, like, he's a little worried, because, like, the coaches get to decide who's sure. the goalie, and he's, like, a little worried to, like, say that I was going to be the goalie because I was a girl. But the coaches were all like, it's fine. Like, she's...
Well, if you're in first or second, you kind of deserve to be there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So forget about being a girl. You earned it.
Yeah.
You moved up to the Bantam Canadiens team, continued to put up some impressive accolades through 2014, AA All-Star Game MVP, which says a lot about you, and AA City finalists. What stands out from you, or stands out to you, excuse me, in terms of that Bantam year?
It was definitely a good year. It was hard because I got cut from the AAA team.
Yeah.
But I just felt like I powered through, and sadly, I missed out on playoffs. That was the furthest we ever got, but I broke my ankle the day before.
Oh, so. That's terrible.
Yeah.
Doing what?
Basketball.
Oh, basketball ruins everything. In saying that, though, I mean, again, AA All-Star Game MVP, it's like, I'm pretty certain that, again, playing AAA is great, but to go there and to actually show up all the other All-Stars is pretty good.
Yeah,
so
it definitely felt pretty good. I kind of felt like I was saying something about, like, maybe I should be playing AAA.
Sure, yeah. Take that, coaches.
Yeah.
So, I mean, St. Mary's is a pretty nice school to attend, and you got into there. Let's ask you about when's the first time you met Larry Bumstead, because he's a pretty big part of that school.
I think the first time I met him was in grade 9. It was like the beginning of the season. He asked me to come to one of their practices.
Yeah. And went well? Were you welcomed? Was it kind of a new, oh my gosh, experience?
It was my first time playing like high level girls hockey.
Yeah.
And I was just like, it was an eye-opening experience to see how good like some of the girls have gotten.
So that grade 9 year, that would have been the year that they won? Or is that the year
after? No, they won the next year.
Oh, the next year, okay. Yeah. So, I mean, you got to see sort of the building blocks of how everything looks at that point. That's pretty awesome that you get to sort of jump in there and be a flame before you actually go to the school. So nice of Larry to invite you out. We'll talk about him a little bit more in a second, though. Something that isn't posted on all your ice hockey accolades, though, that I think people need to be aware of is that your work in the field of ball hockey is basically just nothing but awesomeness, because you were playing with Team Manitoba as a 16-year-old. Is that right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, how many kids have done that? How many 16-year-olds have been part of Team Manitoba and gone across? I mean, obviously there's age groups, but yeah. I mean, you're playing not only Team Manitoba 16-year-old, but you're playing on the boys team. Is that right?
Yeah, I played.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
I lucked out, actually. There wasn't that many goalies that try out the first year because it was in Newfoundland.
Oh, wow.
So I think there was only 2 goalies that tried out, so they actually didn't end up cutting anybody. And then the next year was in Edmonton, I think. I think I took a year off. And then I did an exchange in Montreal.
Okay.
And then the next year was in Edmonton. And then the year after that, I moved up to the U-17, and that was in New Brunswick, and I was actually the only goalie on my team, so I played all the games, and
look
I got
you.
Most valuable goalie of the tournament.
There you go. That's not bad at all as well. Look at you. You got tons of stuff. So I got to ask you, because it's completely different in terms of mechanics, what's it like going from ball hockey to ice hockey and vice versa? Because there's completely different physics involved.
Yeah, you definitely have to. The hardest part to remember is you can't slide in ball hockey, so you have to be more athletic and you have to be more controlled with your rebounds so that you can get to them, or they're just not there. So
when you say you can't slide, like, are we talking about like just on your pads, on your skates? Like, obviously you're wearing shoes, so you can't really slide on shoes because they're rubber in terms of what you're wearing on your shoes or on the soles of your shoes. But like, do the pads not slide as easily on the floor as well?
Not really. There's things that you can add on, but like the style that I've developed, like I don't really need to slide that much. I just kind of do the splits and I got it.
I got it covered. Don't worry about it. Yeah, it's all good. To me, it seems like, I mean, I know you said, you know, it's a bit different and you learn, you know, you train a little bit differently in terms of doing the ball hockey versus the ice hockey. But I mean, does it make you, do you feel like one enhances the other, or like, is there a correlation between the two net minding positions? I mean, we hear about people playing lacrosse and lacrosse, you know, helps shooters in terms of, you know, NHL and all that kind of stuff. But does ball hockey goaltending and ice hockey goaltending, is there a direct correlation between how well you work together in both sports?
I think they definitely helped me a lot. Like, I would not be as good a ball hockey goalie if I hadn't been playing hockey for so much longer.
Okay.
And I've definitely found that since adding ball hockey into like my training, it's like definitely helped me become like a more athletic goalie and making those second and third saves.
Okay, that's fair.
And you definitely learn to react faster because that ball comes so much faster and it curves too. So I
was gonna say, I've seen a couple of the games in terms of, so you guys obviously play with the ball in terms of the which again, International Street and Ball Hockey Federation, is that right? Is that the it stands for? So the ISBHF. Like, looking at the floor, I was watching a few of the highlights, some of the games in Slovakia. Floor seems to be, like, immaculate. Like, I don't know what it's made out of. Is it just, like, is it, like, concrete? Is it, like, what, like, do you know what it's made out of?
I've definitely felt like plastic is like okay. plastic like tiling that they put on.
Oh, okay. So that's not too bad then. Because I was going to say it looked like, because the ball bounced pretty well on it. And I was like, okay, it's not like a regular like gym floor where it's got like dead spots or anything like that or whatever. So yeah. I didn't know what it was made out of. But that's kind of cool. They put down like a whole like ice for you guys, which is awesome. There were some pretty well-known Canadian faces, or there are some pretty well-known Canadian faces, excuse me, who play ball hockey. Professional players who likely have played all over the world, names like Jamie Lee Rattray and Devin Skeets, who both won a Clarkson Cup with the Markham Thunder, are avid ball hockey players. Does seeing them at tournaments, especially when you're 16, does seeing them at tournaments make you a little nervous or make you a little envious and go, I want to be them?
I definitely remember, well, I was playing guys when I was younger,
sure,
so I remember the U19 boys team Manitoba did really good when I was on the U15 team, and the goalie for the U19 team, I think Kyle McCollum, was so good. Like, he got chosen for Team Canada, and I don't think he let in a goal for, like, majority of the tournament.
Oh, wow.
So I remember, like, watching him and, like, seeing him, like, win the award. I think he won top goalie or something. And I was like, I want to be like him. Like, I want to be playing Team Canada. I want to be top goalie. So
nice. Yeah. That works out well then. I'm going to switch back to ice hockey just for a second, because obviously things are still going on in the ice hockey world while you're doing all the ball hockey. You started out with St. Mary's Academy High School team, where you continued to dominate. You were named Winnipeg Women's High School Hockey League All-Star in 2015-2016. Team fell a little short, but it was the start of something pretty awesome there in terms of what, you know, your four years with St. Mary's at that point. So let's go over that a little bit. What was it like sort of get started and to see other goaltenders ahead of you where you're like, hey, I gotta do my best to knock one of them off?
Yeah, it was definitely eye-opening, because like I've never played girls hockey, so like to see like Logan Angers played Team Canada, yeah, going to Quinnipiac University, like I definitely tried, like, it's just like, like your friends and everything, but
sure,
at the same time, it's like it's a little competition. Like you wanna beat her.
Yeah.
So I definitely, like, it was definitely good motivation to like push me to try harder in practices and like workouts, so I could be like as good as her.
Are you? Is it a mentor sort of student kind of relationship with Logan at that point, where you're coming in and you're the fresh faced rookie? You're the, you know, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm just out here playing net. Where she sort of got the, okay, kid, this is how it goes. This is how it's going to be.
I think it was kind of like we were both teaching. We were both learning from each other.
Oh, that's all right then.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. Did she come to you for ball hockey chat or no? She
no.
doesn't play. No. Okay, that's all right then. Going a little further, obviously you guys make the jump to prep hockey after that first year. What's the jump like from Winnipeg Women's High School to the Prep Hockey League? Because that's a pretty big step.
Yeah, it was a huge step. It's it was our first year in the CSSHL.
Yeah.
So we were playing a lot of like really good players. So it was good hockey.
Good hockey as in like we got our eyes opened in the first year? Because, I mean, you guys did well.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. It's not like you guys did poorly. But
yeah,
like, wow, we got to be on our game every game now? Like, there's no nights off, basically?
Well, I've always been, like, it's a no nights off kind of person. And,
yeah,
like, I remember my first game, like, my heart was pounding, like, the whole game with the team. I was just so nervous, but, like, I got a shutout, so it was pretty good.
Oh, that's pretty good, yeah.
Yeah.
We can say that again if you want. I'm going to ask this question because it came from, I'm going to quote this, it came from, quote-unquote, Uncle Rob, who wants to know about the method and the behavior behind the taping of your stick.
Oh, God.
So let's get into this. What's going on with the stick?
So I've never actually taped my own stick.
What?
My uncle does it for me.
How is this even possible at this age?
Well, he started when I was younger, and I guess I just never...
Routine, superstition now?
Now it's just like, it's too late to learn, so you can.
So did you take Rob with you over to Slovakia to tape your stick, or did you just, you were like, no, just do them all before I leave, please?
Yeah, I tape my own stick for ball hockey because it's just two strips, so it's pretty easy.
Okay.
But he does all my ice hockey sticks.
What's the idea behind the two strips? Is that just because of the ball, or?
I just I don't know, I just, like, always feel the need to, like, have tape on my stick, but, like, I don't want it on the bottom part because it doesn't slide as well on the floor.
Okay, that makes
sense. So I just do two strips to give me, like, a little grip when I'm playing the puck.
Oh, that's interesting. Just never tape your stick, eh? That's kind of awesome. What's the meaning, what's the significance, if there is any, behind number one?
I think I just chose number one when I was younger because it was a goalie number, and then I stuck with it because Roberto Luongo is number one, yeah. And I wanted to be like him. So
right on. Good choice. Good idol to have there. Good mentor to have there. Obviously, you've been all over the place, and we were just talking about that, and I'll talk a little bit more about that, but you've been all over the place with hockey now. Obviously, the CSS, whatever, HL is all over the map in terms of what's going on. Ball hockey's taking you everywhere. Slovakia is obviously a big place. Coolest place you've been in your career so far? Where's the one place you'd be like, if I had to go back there, that's the place I'd go?
Probably Sweden.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to Sweden for?
Bandy with the high school team in grade 9.
Bandy?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. I thought you think there were no other sports. What are you talking about? That's a completely different sport.
I forgot about it.
That's all right. Well, let that one slide. We had a couple of players in here last year in terms of the rookie chat that we do with the Bisons. And we were talking to a few of them, and a few of them had a couple cool places. Did you guys end up going to Finland as well? Finland, Sweden? Is that all in the same trip, or were you not part of that? No.
No.
Okay.
That was at the prep team. Did I think Sweden and Finland?
Okay.
When I was in grade 9 and playing for the high school.
Oh,
team.
Okay. So that's how it worked. Okay, that's fine. So why would you go back to Sweden? What makes it special?
I just like it was so like I love traveling to Europe in general, and it was so pretty there and relaxing. I don't know. I just like being in Europe.
It's funny you say that because it seems like there's a lot of ball hockey in Europe. Is that a future goal of yours? Is to play over there?
Yeah, I definitely starting to look at playing like professional like ice hockey out in Europe.
We had another woman on here, and I don't know if you've crossed paths in your ball hockey experience because she plays for Team USA, but Jetta Ratcliffe is a fairly big ball hockey player. Played pro for Boston and Worcester in the CWHL. She's been all over the place. She grew up in California. Couldn't say enough good stuff about the game. What is it about ball hockey? And again, you can say 100 different things if you want, but what is it about ball hockey in terms of that closeness? Because she talked about how she just loved being with the team. What is it about the closeness of a ball hockey team? Because to me, team's a team, right? Like, everybody's close anyway if you're on a team. But she specifically said, like, that ball hockey fraternity, sorority, in terms of the way that everybody sticks together, is pretty awesome.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like, I wasn't expecting to be, like, we became a family when I went there for 2 weeks to Slovakia. Like, I wasn't expecting it at all. Like, the second I got there, I met two girls who were coming from Newfoundland or something.
Okay.
And they instantly welcomed me like I was, like, one of their, like, closest friends. And then when you get there, like, everyone's hugging each other and, like you've never met, like, I haven't met any of them before, but a lot of them have become super tight over the years, and they just, like, welcomed all the new people, like, instantly.
So it's kind of weird, and we'll do this before the break because we got about 5 minutes for the quick little break that we throw in here, but you actually missed out on the opportunity to be recruited the first time when they were looking for players for Team Canada. Is that correct?
I missed out on the...
That you had to go and play in a second tournament in order for them to sort of come out and talk to you.
Yeah, I was planning on going to the Women's Nationals, which were here in Winnipeg.
Right.
But I got chosen for the Team Canada Ice Hockey Development Camp.
Yes.
So I couldn't, but they recruited me at the boys' tournament, and then they also got people to watch me at the Team Canada camp.
Which is super awesome in terms of them giving you another opportunity. What's it like going over as the youngest player on the team?
It was definitely interesting. I was scared at first, but like I didn't really feel the age difference at the beginning I did, but like near the middle, I was like just like one of the people on the team.
I hope so. At that point, 4-0 over there. You hardly surrendered any goals, which is awesome. Again, watching a few of your games, it was. You talked about playing in the splits a lot, but it seemed like you were on your backside a lot. I don't know if that's something that's just happens, but I mean, again, you played well. I'm not taking anything away from you, but it was more you like had like two pad stacks going up as opposed to playing in the splits. I mean, you made a lot of split saves, don't get me wrong, but there was a couple of like rebounds where it was like, okay, she's now all over the place, fish out of water. So you said rebound control obviously is important, but I mean, looking at it, how hard is it to play net at that level?
It was definitely really hard. Like they can shoot that ball so fast and curve it or get a good screen, and you don't have that much time to react, so you have to really be on your toes.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that because it looked a lot harder than it had to be. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams you'd be going to Slovakia in the summer of 2019 to play like Team Canada ball hockey when you were watching the under 16 team, when you were watching McComb play? Did you ever think in 3 years, 4 years, I'll be there?
Not at all. I thought it'd be like a long way down the road.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, you've dominated pretty much at every level, so I don't know why you would think that, but I mean, hey, for each their own. Your goaltending partner, who's played for the team forever, her name is?
Natalie Girard.
And Natalie has like 30 years of experience on you.
Yeah.
Did you happen to learn anything from her?
We had a lot of talks. I don't know if I like learned anything like from talking to her, but like I just learned a lot from watching her play, and like I learned a lot about like she was so relaxed and calm when she played.
Okay.
Which I liked.
I mean, you got a big start anyway. You had semifinals in terms of playing in that game. Toughest team you played against?
Probably the Czech Republic.
Really?
Yeah.
Why were they the toughest?
They had a rough tournament this year, but they actually won
the
last one. And so I think they just had like a rough start, but they were still like a really good team. And when we played them, it was 0-0 throughout the whole game and overtime. So we had to go
through
7 rounds of shootouts.
Are you a fan of the shootout as a goaltender?
In ice hockey, yes. In ball hockey, not so much.
Okay, what's the difference? Like, again, the sliding and the physics and everything. But, I mean, most goaltenders are like, no, we hate it. Like, it's the worst thing ever.
I like personally, for me, like, for ice hockey,
yeah.
I like how I can, like, it sounds bad, but, like, I can make a mistake and my team can still redeem me.
Okay.
But, like, in overtime, if you make a mistake, it's done. There's no going back.
No, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the shootout's kind of the same way, right? I mean, if your team doesn't score. I mean, again, and that's why, I mean, it's kind of weird that you like the shootouts in ice hockey and not ball hockey. If it's the same idea. They can still redeem you, right? No?
Yeah. But, like, it's just so much, like, in ice hockey, I've had a lot of experience with, like, shootouts and, like, practice and games. Like, I've learned how to take them, like, pretty well. But in ball hockey, like, that was maybe my third or fourth shootout ever. And I was like, it's been a long time since I've done a shootout. I don't know how to approach this.
We're going to go to break here in a couple seconds for about 20 seconds. Get the legal ID coming up in a couple of seconds here. But in saying that, different uniform, obviously, different set of... I mean, your pads are virtually the same because you're still playing net. But, I mean, people don't realize that, like, you're not... Like, you're wearing shorts instead of, like socks and pants because it's so hot underneath your equipment. Like, what does the temperature get like down on that floor?
It gets pretty hot. I think the first day, in the smaller rink, one of the goalies actually passed out.
Oh, man.
Because they got so hot.
Like, from the other teams?
It wasn't our game. It was Great Britain. I forget who they were playing, but they passed out.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's not good. Okay, so we're going to take a quick 20-second break. Legal ID coming up. We'll be back after this, folks. We'll have more Juliana Thompson. We got lots of questions to ask her, lots of fun questions to ask her about stuff that's going on. We're going to talk about her future at an OUA school over in Ontario. We'll talk about that when we get back as we feature Juliana Thompson here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM. Stay tuned, everybody. Back in 20 seconds.
169 out of 170 campus radio volunteers agree. Listen to UMFM 101.5 campus and community radio from the University of Manitoba. Huh? Really? Yeah. Oh, Dave's show's been canceled. Bummer. Make that 169 out of 169 then.
We are back here on the hockey show. I didn't know. I wasn't aware. That was... So we're just having a conversation about our normal snack routine and here in the hockey show. But back with Juliana Thompson, gold medalist from the ISBHF World Championships. That thing is sitting down on the far end there, and it is pretty impressive. I saw you, there was a picture actually we posted today on the show preview on Hockey Blog in Canada of you holding the trophy. What's it like to do the circuit, do the once around the rink like the Stanley Cup? If I mean, I don't know if you guys actually did that, but obviously get to hoist the trophy and be a champion. Not many people get a chance to say that.
Yeah, it was definitely pretty good. It was a great experience. And like walking back, because we carried the trophy back to the hotel, like everyone was like, oh, can I have a picture with you?
Oh, nice. That's fantastic. There's only one other Manitoban on the team as well. So, kind of a unique sort of setup. There were three Newfoundland players. I was just looking that up in terms of the information. But the two big players, again, Rattray and Skeef didn't even play for you guys in this tournament. You guys pretty much carried your own. There was a lot of CIS players, a lot of players from the AUS that went out there, a couple of players from St. Thomas who we saw at the, well, we didn't see them, but we saw St. Thomas play at the Nationals last year. But really, I mean, a lot of players that you may end up playing against coming next year. Let's talk about next year, because you're off to the OUA to play for the York University Lions. What, I mean, we were talking about it before the show, so let's just ask about it. How did you get recruited by York?
It's kind of an odd story, but at the boys ball hockey nationals last year, the U15 goalie coach was Kyle McCollum again.
Okay.
And his sister is going to York, and he told his sister about me, and he talked to me at the tournament. He said, like, hey, York is looking for a goalie next year. You should contact them. And I also told my sister to tell the coach about like how amazing you are, and I was like, okay,
there you go, that's all right.
Yeah, so then I sent them an email and they came and watched me play at a showcase in Ontario, and it just went from there.
That's pretty awesome. Taking a quick look at a few things that I was just going through some of the setups here in terms of everything that happened. Who were the two Newfoundland? April Drake was one of them in terms of the information that's on there that I have here. But there's been a lot. Like Chelsea Karpenko had an outstanding tournament as well. Like, who in your mind, I don't know who the MVP was, I didn't see the final results, but who was actually named the MVP for the tournament? Do you remember?
I know Nat Girard, the other goalie, was goalie of the tournament.
Yeah.
And I think Michelle Mars might have been top, maybe named to the All-Star team for defense.
Okay. Incredible in terms of everything that's going on here. You actually, I didn't want to bring this up, but you actually lost that shootout game against the Czechs, right?
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was just reading the information about Katerina Nemkova, who's name that people should recognize from hockey around the world, but she actually scored the winner. How did she beat you?
She just shot it, and I got unlucky. It bounced off my pad and went in.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
Yeah.
It wasn't like you got, you know, undressed and deked around or anything like that, which is kind of be the worst way. But yeah, then I mean after that, Jessica McCann had a good setup in terms of her. So she's at St. Thomas University as well. She's a defender at St. Thomas. Again, a lot of players that Canada's under 20 women's ball hockey coach played with you guys. Juliana Pallotta, is that right?
Yeah, she was my roommate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, so was she like, hey, good game out there. Like, here's what we should be doing better. Did she give you any coaching tips? No, she just was like, I'm here to play.
We became best friends. Like, she like welcomed me, like introduced me to the team, and like talked to me about like how I was feeling like before the games and stuff.
So. She wasn't trying to recruit you for the under 20 team. No,
I definitely got asked to play for the under 20
okay.
team.
Okay, yeah,
next
that's
year.
Fair. That's fair then. That's okay. So I mean, it's kind of funny because like I was just going through some of the information here, and I was like, I didn't even know she was on there in terms of everybody that's on there. Kristen Kristen Kuz had a big goal. Former Mount Allison Mountie against the Slovaks as well. In that semifinal game, as you guys secured the 2-0 win, what's it like shutting out the Slovaks in the semifinals?
It definitely felt good. I was pretty nervous going in because, well, it wasn't really, it was an important game for them, but it wasn't right. That important for us. So I was definitely worried about how we were going to approach it. And after, I think we had a day off the day before too, so I was definitely nervous going in.
Well, but it was a pretty big match for you guys, because if you won, you and the Americans would go to the final. But if Slovakia won and they won by more than 2 goals, then you and Slovakia would go to the final. So yeah. It kind of, you guys kind of had your,
who we were
yeah,
playing.
You kind of held your own fate at that point. So it was a big game for you. But I mean, a 12 save shutout for you. And I mean, that's fantastic in terms of getting everything in there and in terms of the stats that we had in on this game anyway. So June 22nd was the gold medal game. U.S. And you guys tangled for the third time in this tournament, which seems like a lot to play against each other, but all right. Sherry Stewart opened the scoring at 11:57, put you guys down 1-0. What's the thought going through the bench at that point?
I think it was the first time we were down, like, the whole
it was,
tournament.
Yes.
So I was definitely like, oh no, like, what's happening? And I think we were, like, dominated too, then all of a sudden they got a shot and
yes.
scored, and I was like, oh no.
It was like out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere. She came down and she scored, but you guys literally carried the play for the first 10 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Second period comes out. You guys come out flying. Carly Beckering basically was peppered with shots the entire, like, you guys literally put on a clinic in that second period. 19 minutes, Edie Brenning scored to make it 1-1. 24 seconds later, you guys score again when Alicia, is it Desmier?
Desmier?
Oh, it's Desmier. Oh, sorry about that, Alicia, if you're listening. But 24 seconds later, you guys go up 2-1. Is that, like, the best thing ever, like,
yeah.
in terms of ball hockey? Like, it's great in ice hockey when you do that, when you're like, oh, okay, turn it around. But, like, ball hockey seems like the momentum can shift in, like, a matter of seconds.
Yeah, like, it was instantly like, okay, we got this. And especially because it was in the same shift, it was like, it just, like, it felt like we really woke up in that shift.
Brenning made it a 3-1 game at 25:47, and the Americans would come back when Whitley Nichols scored, beat Girard at 28:24, 3-2 going into the third period. What's the talk in the locker room between periods?
So the players, because it's a long walk to the locker room,
yeah.
The players go to the locker room, and me and Nat Girard just hung out on the bench.
Because they're like, no, we're good.
Yeah, we're like, we'll just chill here.
All right, that's fair.
Yeah, so we just kind of... It was funny. I was like, she's like, just talk to me about anything to get, like, my mind off the game, because, like, she was so stressed. So we were just, like, talking about, like, how I asked her, like, how she got into, like, ball hockey, because I was, like, interested, because I hadn't really had that much time to talk to her. So it was interesting to hear, like, her story about, like, how she got into it.
And how did she get into it then? Let's hear about that.
Well, I asked her when she started. She said, I was older than you.
Oh, look at you. Yeah. There you go.
So I think she just got asked, like, kind of same as me. Like, somebody was putting a team together and they needed a goalie. And she was like, I'll go goalie, I guess. Because she didn't like the running. So so she went goalie. And then she kind of just stuck with it.
That's fantastic. Well, what's the team like when they come back to the bench? Then are they pumped? Are they ready to go?
Yeah,
seemed to be pretty good for everybody, because at 31-13, Kristen Kuz restored the 2-goal lead for you guys. She beat Beckering in that that moment, and then it seemed to be defensive shell time, as everybody, and I mean, it seemed like everybody blocked shots and were taking opportunities away. I don't want to say you guys were dominant throughout this tournament, but again, you were, as you trailed for all of what, I think 8 or 9 minutes or 20, whatever, 10 minutes in this tournament. What's it like being best? What is it weird to hear you're the best in the world?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. Like, I've never won, like, even, like, I've won a few tournaments, but I've never even
sure.
won, like, a league championship or, like, a national. So it's, like, crazy to go from never having won anything, like, big to
hold on, that's a lie. You were part of the female World Sports School Challenge team that won with St. Mary's
Yeah.
That's a pretty big tournament.
That was a pretty big tournament.
I mean, it's not a world championship, yeah. Granted, but it's still a pretty big tournament.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you won a few things then. Not to be too critical of that. Brennan and McCann, top scorers for Canada, finished the tournament with 4 goals and 2 assists apiece. Karpenko had 2 goals and 3 assists. Melanie Ju, who played over in China with in the CWHL, she played on your team. Did she have any? Did she talk to her? Did she have any cool stories about playing over there?
We didn't really talk about like her playing like in China, but like we were like best friends like when we were at the tournament.
Oh, that's so awesome! Then good for you guys.
Yeah.
You guys were named you were the second best goalie statistically. Natalie was the third best goaltender statistically at the tournament, based upon the fact that the only person who was better than you was a goaltender from Slovakia that played one game. So pretty much the best goalie of the tournament, which is awesome to say. But I mean, I don't think people realize the amount of sacrifice that goes into getting you guys over there. And that's one of the things I think that when I wrote the piece on my site about that, you're required to raise $3,000 each to go over there just to represent Canada. And I'm not here to rip on any national program or whatever. I mean, we can if we really want to, but that's a lot of money for people to raise just for you guys to go represent the country.
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of sacrifice to get over there, but it's definitely worth it.
Oh, and take nothing away there. It definitely is worth it. But I mean, again, we're talking about you guys are busy doing other stuff. I mean, you're in school, you're doing a ton of stuff, you're getting ready for grad, you're doing all this, and then all of a sudden, listen, I gotta hit you up for some money to go over to Slovakia. Like, that's not really the kind of thing that a high school graduate should be doing. So, I mean, you can do it and certainly go play, and certainly people are gonna help you out. But I mean, is it weird to sort of just leave in the middle of graduation, in the middle of you're in the month you graduate and go?
Yeah, it was definitely weird. I wrote my last exam and then the next day I left for Slovakia and I actually had to miss my grad dinner and dance because I was in Slovakia.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't suck. I mean, you got a gold medal out of it, so I shouldn't really complain too much, but I mean, it's that once in a lifetime thing, but I guess you got a different once in a lifetime thing. That's kind of cool. Considering everything that went on, considering the $3,000, considering how much time and effort you've put in, let me be one of the many to congratulate you, because I'm sure there are a lot of people have. It's awesome, and I'm certain that whatever's going to happen next year with York, they're getting a hell of a goaltender. So congratulations on winning the gold medal. If we haven't said it already, you deserve everything that came along with it, all the kudos, all the accolades, because that's one heck of a performance you guys put on over there. So good for you guys.
Thank you.
What's the, are you like the, and this is going to sound bad because I don't think you ever have asked to be this, but are you kind of the face of ball hockey in Manitoba now? Has ball hockey Manitoba been like, hey, listen, Juliana, you want a gold medal, you want to come hang out and be our prototypical player now?
not really. They texted me to ask for my phone number because they wanted to make like a press release or whatever, and there's somebody wanted to contact me, but other than that I haven't really heard much from them.
Really?
Yeah,
I have to talk to Jeff about that and see if we can get that fixed up, because pretty sure you deserve a little bit of kudos for the work you put in. So let's talk about this. So next year, going to York, you were recruited out of ball hockey, which is kind of weird. What sold you on York? Were there other schools that came out and said, hey, listen, we want you to come here? What was the one thing on you that made York stand out the most for you?
Well, I just like instantly, like I started talking to Kelsey and like instantly, like I already felt like I had a friend.
Okay.
And then it was really helpful that I was going to like a bigger university because I didn't know what I wanted to take for sure yet. So they had a lot of programs.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I went to visit, I had so much fun on the visit. Like all the girls were so welcoming. So I was just like instantly just fell in love with it. And it's like, it's a bonus that's so close too. So it'll be like easy for family to come and visit me and stuff.
That's all right then. Were there other schools that came calling? You don't have to mention their names. You don't have to call them out. But were there other schools that came and said, we see Juliana Thompson as this in our school?
Yeah, there's definitely, in my first couple of years, I talked to a few Division I schools.
Okay.
And then I talked to a few CIS schools in grade 12, and then I got a lot of offers from like D3 schools too.
Okay, that's all right then. So, hot commodity is what you're saying. Everybody wants wants you as part of their team, which is fantastic. Obviously, again, I don't know if you've kept an eye on York and everything that's gone on. They haven't really been near the top of the OUA, but again, anything can change. There's a lot of schools that are changing out. What's the opportunity for you? Like, are you going to have a chance to compete right out of the gate to be their number one goaltender?
Yeah, they said definitely it'll be a competition between the three goalies right off the bat for who's starter.
Good. That'll be awesome then. Yeah. Give you a chance to get out there and show off, well, not ball hockey skills, but ice hockey skills at that point. Is there anybody, any sort of player, any sort of coach, anybody that you know of in the OUA that you are excited to sort of go one-on-one against, get up and see them up close and personal? There's usually somebody, I mean, again, not saying there's a ton of standouts, but I mean, like, again, just to give an example, we had, you know, obviously Haley Wickenheiser played for the University of Calgary for a while. She was like, everybody had to go see her. Is there anybody like that where you're like, I'm excited to go to play against X team because of some player or some coach?
Not really. I'm not sure of anybody.
That's fair.
Particular.
No, that's fair then. Not a problem. I'm not certain. I'm just trying to think if there's anybody that stands out for me right now in the OUA, and I'm not sure there is. Most of them are coaches, but that's only because I get to see them more often than the players. So looking at again, distance, and obviously Toronto's a little bit further away, were there schools that were closer to Winnipeg than Toronto that came calling? Again, you don't have to name them, but were there schools that were closer that came calling?
I don't think so. I think I talked to, no.
No? No, so Toronto was the closest? That's fair.
So that was the closest.
That's fair. No, nothing wrong with that then.
Yeah.
OUA's got a good reputation for winning championships. I mean, Western won it in 2015. They always seem to be there in the final. How excited are you to get into university hockey? Because it's a game changer when people start getting going at it. People seem to have a blast, at least from our experience here at University of Manitoba. The women seem to love playing the game at the university level. Are you excited to get into it?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited. I love moving up. Like, I'm so competitive, so I just love that I'm going somewhere else. And like 3 years with St. Mary's was great, and we got to travel all over the West Coast. So it'll be nice to go to Ontario and be able to travel around Ontario. And then I usually get the East Coast with ball hockey, so seeing all of Canada.
You kind of got the whole map covered then, yeah. Is what you're saying. That's all right. What are the chances? Probably going to be pretty good. What are the chances you're going to come home and play Manitoba ball hockey again next summer? Or is there anything where the coaches have said you can't do both for training reasons or for injury reasons, anything like that?
No, I think usually in the off season we're free to do
whatever you want.
Yeah.
Okay, just making sure because sometimes there's coaches that get a little overcautious. You never know. I don't want to ask this because we're not, and we hate them, and we don't ever want to talk about them on the show. Are you a Leafs fan? No.
No.
Okay, good. We don't have to worry about that. I was going to say, if you're going down there, you're going to cheer for the Leafs. We can end this interview. No, I'm just kidding. obviously, Luongo didn't play for them. Are you a fan of Florida? Are you a fan of Vancouver? Is there a team that you follow in terms of NHL?
Well, I get a lot of hate for this, but I'm a big Nashville Predators fan.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Our school had a whiteout 2 years ago,
yeah.
When they were playing Nashville, so I wore yellow.
So, why Nashville then?
Because after Roberto Luongo got traded to Vancouver, I decided to find a new goalie. So I picked Pekka Rinne.
What's wrong with Luongo in Vancouver?
They went downhill after they lost to Boston.
Well, I mean, yeah.
And, like, I still watched him, but, like, I was also, like, wanted to, like, watch other goalies, and I just, like, fell in love with like Pekka Rinne, and like also like hearing about like UC Saros because he's a shorter goalie, and
yeah.
I've always, as well as being a girl, I've also been a short goalie,
okay.
So like it definitely spoke to me that he was like a shorter goalie, so I just loved the tandem of the two.
All right, that's fair. Looking at, well, I mean, both are Finnish as well. Looking at the results of that series, where did you take a lot of heat for that?
Yeah, I definitely got a lot of heat.
That's okay, though. You can always throw it back. I mean, again, Nashville and Winnipeg are probably going to, well, I mean, who knows with Nashville with all the changes this year. Are you excited about the team this year now that they've moved PK, brought in Matt Duchene? Are those positive moves? Are you happy about the work that Nashville's doing right now?
I'm definitely more like a goalie-focused person.
Oh, so you don't,
I know nothing about
as long as the team in front of Pecorine does well, you're okay with that?
Yeah,
okay.
As long as they have Pecorine and UC Saros, we're good.
All right, that's fair then. I can understand that. Yeah. Are there other goalies? Obviously, you know, Luongo, Rene. Are there other goalies that you've maybe got a different connection with in terms of I know them, I kind of learned from them. I know, again, just throw names out. Sammy Joe Small's obviously been in the city a lot in terms of her camp and stuff she's doing. McComb, obviously, you mentioned him a couple times. Are there other goalies that you just go, like, yeah, like that, again, that's, he's awesome, she's awesome, I want to play more like that?
Definitely another one recently has been Marc-Andre Fleury.
Oh, yeah?
Another NHLer. I just, like, he's very similar to my style. He's, like, very, like, he's very outside of the box with most of his saves, and he's also like, he has, like, you can tell he's having a good time when he's playing, and I've definitely been focusing more on being relaxed and playing more like him.
Are you gonna go get some like crazy pads for next year then with like the weird color or the super bright colors like like he wears?
I not next year, but I'm hoping in a couple years down the road to get an all red set, kind of like his all gold set. So
that'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah,
I'll have to check those out when they get there. Obviously last year, we saw you play and excel at the Female World Sports School Challenge. You guys made it to the final. Heartbreaking loss, unfortunately, in overtime. Do you look at that and you go, not a big deal? Like some goalies hold on to losses. Are you a goaltender that really worries about, or do you just go, yep, next game, let's go?
Yeah, I'm usually pretty quick to forget about like games. Like, you take your lessons from them and then you move on. You can't change the past.
All right, that's good then. There's no regrets over a goal 10 years ago or something. That's nice to hear, which is always good. Highlight of your career so far, what's been the one thing, ball hockey or ice hockey, what's the one thing that was my favorite moment, that's the big moment for me right now?
I don't know. I have to.
I mean, you can say the gold medal, which is awesome, but yeah. I was just thinking if there's other, if there's something we haven't touched on, maybe I've missed something.
No, I think the gold medal is definitely like the one that's standing out. And like, I had a really good game against POE last year in Winnipeg. That one also was pretty good.
POE seemed to have your number a lot.
Yeah, they had a lot of teams' numbers. They were pretty good, but we took them. We were the only team to take them to overtime last year.
Oh, look at you guys. There you go. Yeah. Looking at Slovakia, looking at Sweden, looking at the places you've been, obviously you've had a chance to sample food across the world. You've had a chance to go to many places, different attractions, different, you know, sort of historical landmarks. What's the one place that, or the one thing that you've eaten, or the one, what's the one memory from all your travels that you're like, if anybody's going there, you got to do this?
For hockey or just like in general?
Just in general, if you want. You can throw hockey in if you want, but I'm just thinking with all the traveling you've done, there must be something cool that, or something you've eaten that you're like, you got to try this.
So when my family went to Mexico a few years ago, we found a hole in the wall that, like, it was just a name for, like, a restaurant that's not, like a fancy restaurant.
Yeah.
It's basically, like, a hole in the
wall. Just a greasy spoon, yeah.
Yeah. And we went there every night at, like 1 in the morning. We'd walk there, and I got, I think it was steak and cheese quesadilla.
Okay.
And I just fell in love with it.
Really?
I talk about it all the time. I was like, we have to go back to Mexico. I need to get my steak and cheese quesadilla.
Do you know if that hole in the wall is still there?
I've heard rumors that it's not there.
Oh, no.
It makes me very sad.
Oh, no. That's so good.
So I'll have to find another one.
Or find out whoever owned it and just tell them, hey, listen, I need a steak and cheese quesadilla.
Yeah, from you. I will pay money.
That's actually awesome. But all the places you've been, that's the one thing that stands out the most, eh? That is so cool. Speaking of Mexico, I mean, they have a huge hockey program going down there now. They send teams up to Max all the time. Is there, you ever thought about you know, hey, maybe I'll go coach. Maybe I'll do, like, I mean, obviously, you got a huge university career in front of you and lots of opportunity beyond that. But is that something, is coaching something you want to do in the future? Is that an idea? Or do you just kind of go, no, I'm going to play till I'm dead?
I definitely want to play as long as I can, but yeah. I also like giving back. Like, I've started goalie coaching at some girls' camps here in Winnipeg.
Okay.
So I definitely, I try to give back as much as I can and teach, goalies, what I wish I knew when I was their age.
Okay.
Because goalie coaching definitely was not as popular when I was younger.
Certainly. No, that's definitely, and for, I hate to say it, for shorter goalies, I mean, that's certainly something that a lot of people don't coach well, I find, especially because, I mean, everybody's looking for that prototypical 6-foot goaltender.
Yeah.
You're not quite 6 feet, so you may know something a little bit more than what everybody else knows. A lot of people don't like talking about them. A lot of people refuse to talk about them. Do you have any superstitions when you're playing net?
I definitely, it's not generally, I wouldn't call it a superstition. Some people might, but it's a routine that I just always have to follow, and there's just certain things that I have to do. So it's a little bit different for ball hockey, but I just like the pregame, the songs I listen to, the food I eat, all of that usually stays the same throughout.
But no specific, I gotta touch the post 6 times or anything like that?
I always do 30 jumping jacks right before I get my gear on.
And oh, wow.
And then once I have my bottom gear on, I have to do my hand-eye stuff. And I have to catch a ball 10 times in a row from afar and then up close and then afar with my glove.
Wow. So a little elaborate then in terms of you getting ready. You need 3 hours of prep time. You're good. No, just kidding. It's kind of funny that you talk about the hand-eye and doing all that kind of stuff or whatever. I don't know. I mean, obviously you played basketball, played volleyball. We got 2 minutes left. Bandy. I want to get back to the bandy. How did you get into bandy?
So the high school team, the year before I joined, they did a tournament in the States or something, and then they got invited to go to Sweden to we were Team Canada.
Okay.
But it was just my high school team.
Yeah, yeah.
And play against the top players in, I think it was Sweden and Finland, maybe Norway too.
Okay.
So it was definitely an interesting experience.
Were you good at it? There's the question.
I was not the best at the saves because it was definitely very different, but my throwing abilities definitely got me noticed.
Okay.
Pretty fast. So I got a player of the game one time because I set up our only goal by throwing the ball all the way down the ice. And it's not a hockey rink sized sheet. It's a football field size.
Okay.
So I threw the ball all the way down, and then the girl got it and shot it in. So.
It's the breakaway pad, all the way down the ice. You just fired it down and away you go in terms of clearing the football field. I think that's awesome. Like I said, I don't know anybody that plays bandy, so that's fantastic. We got about a minute left, so about 30 seconds left. I'll give you the soapbox. Is there anything you want to say, anything you want to promote, anybody you want to give a shout out to? You can certainly use the time now if you want, because we've pretty much talked about you the whole time. Is there anybody else you want to recognize?
This is a shout out for Matt, Marley, David, and Rob, Uncle Rob. Everyone, if you wanted to know, my pregame meal is pasta and chicken.
There you go.
And I got asked that before for one of the get-to-know-you questions for Team Manitoba Ice Hockey, and I always get chirped for it.
Really? Because that seems to be a pretty common hockey thing.
I think it's a common answer, but my friends and my family always call me out for saying pasta and chicken.
To me, it seems pretty normal. I wouldn't worry about it. I think you're all right there, Juliana. I want to say, because we're just about out of time here, I want to say thanks for coming in. I want to say thanks for bringing your gold medal. That is awesome to see that. And certainly an impressive achievement, nonetheless. And I don't know if we'll see you again in the next calendar year, at least, anyway, because you're going to be busy playing in Ontario. But good luck out at York University as well, and hopefully maybe we'll cross paths at Nationals at one point.
Hopefully
we'll see what happens at that point. If you want to see her play, folks, OUA next year, they have an online stream you can probably get into and check that out. I know they put up some games for free or whatever, so she will be somewhat online if she's playing, and hopefully she is playing. Hear that, York University, make her play. With that, though, Juliana, I can't thank you enough. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for being part of this.
Thank you for having me.
No problem. We will, if you ever want to come back, doors always open. You're more than welcome to come back and talk about whatever you want, all your experiences again. We'll have a good time doing that again. So don't be a stranger around here. Right on. With that, folks, we are done here on The Hockey Show for another Thursday. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to turn it over to Skippy right away for Free Range Radio. As we get out of here with some more Look Ma, I Made It, a song chosen by Juliana, because I'm pretty sure she made it a long time ago. But hey, this is her song as we get out of here on The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
Hustling, and tonight is my appraisal. 'Cause I'm a hooker selling songs, and my pimp's a record label. This world is full of demon stocks and bonds and Bible traders. So I do the deed, get up and leave, a climber and a sadist. Yeah. Are you ready for the sequel?